It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Hip Hop National.
All right, we are live. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight we're talking about book smarts versus street smarts when it as it pertains to entertainment, music, or what have you. But before we get into the topic, let's go ahead and cover the show as we always do right here in the program. Lord, thank you for allowing us to come together collectively again as a community. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear, every mind that is tuned in, locked and loaded to the program, that the young people that is engaged into the program, that they can get something from it to take back as a life lesson learned so that they can eventually turn around and give it back to someone else. Lord, we pray that you cover these young kids today as they quest so much to be in this industry of music. So we ask you this in Jesus' name as we pray. Amen. All right, guys, as a disclaimer to all of everyone who's tuning in, I'm not religious. I do believe that there is a higher power, and that higher power for me is God. So I have to actually give homage to the Father before starting this program. So just giving you that as a synopsis of why I'm praying before the program, because I'm giving him his due diligence, and that's what we do here at Hip Hop National. So you pray in your language or whatever you do, but I hope it is to serve the Father that we serve. Tonight, guys, we're talking about book smarts versus street smarts. Well, a lot of people think, it's sad to say, some people think education is corny. Having to go to school when it sometimes, in some cases, it don't even make sense. And some people, you cannot get them to see that the education of themselves in this business is a necessity. And on the other side, some of the book smarts people, the A students, they think because you're street, you're just a hoodlum and you're up to no good and stuff like that. But the question is it necessary to have a little book smarts and street smarts as you approach this industry of entertainment? Because on the book sides of things, yes, you get a wealth of information. You learned a lot, but in all reality, you haven't taken it into practice. And so, therefore, you have a book of knowledge that you haven't applied yet. And then once you do take it into application, you see that it doesn't unfold exactly the way the book taught you. And then on the other hand, on the street smarts of things, if you don't have that book, that education as your guiding point, you can find yourself in loopholes when it comes to your contracts and stuff like that. So tonight we're going to get into that. We're not just going to bring it in from our side of things. We're going to bring it in from other side, other perspectives. I need you guys to press the number one if you intend to speak tonight on tonight's program. Press the number one. That will highlight your number, and it will bring you to the top. And that way I can come to you and know that you're there. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all for doing so. All right, guys, we do have a special guest. I do want to highlight him and let you guys know. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie Breaking One, Breaking Two. Well, we are privileged to have the guy who was the actor. He was Ozone in the movie. And I'm going to open up his line. I'm going to go ahead and give you guys an opportunity. I'm going to give him the opportunity to tell you who he is and what he's doing now and what he's doing today and how it's impacting how he feels that it is very important to educate ourselves as we go forward. Shabadoo, welcome to the
Yes. Show. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so happy to discuss a subject that is dear to my heart, something that I'm very passionate about, and I think that it's timely and it's something that really needs to be addressed today.
Okay. Give me your opening statement. Be short and brief for me, and then we'll get into who you are, what you've done in the business, how all of that came about, because I'm going to bring in all my panel. So if you would, you have the floor.
Well, you know, I think what we all need to do and really understand is that, you know, education is ubiquitous in a way. I mean, it's everywhere, and it's accessible to everyone. And I think when you're a street person, as I was, as my roots are, you learn a lot about body language. You learn a lot about relating to people. These are useful skills in the private sector and in the corporate world. They're useful. However, education is important in terms of being able to unlock the creative side of our being. You can be an artist. You can have great ideas. But how do you package it? How do you put it together? How do you sell the package? Those things are important, and that's something that I can't stress more.
Okay, good. Very powerful, Shabadoo. Appreciate that. Guys, I'm sure he's going to explain to us how Shabadoo arrived from where it arrived from and, you know, how the character he played, all the role, how it interacted in his life and how it was a part of who he is today or whatever. I'm sure you'll be able to do that for us. Right, Shabadoo?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm ready.
All right. Then we got area code 630-940. State your name. Where are you calling in from?
This is Eric calling in from the Chicago market area.
Hey, Eric. Welcome to Hip Hop National. Eric, what is your opening statement for being book smart versus street smarts?
Well, I'm a book smart person and a street smart person, and I figure in my life it has been good for me to never let other people know how much I know and how deep I know. But the thing is to have a reservoir of real knowledge to fall back on.
All right. Very powerful, man. Very powerful opening statement. So you stay with me, Eric. Guys, I'm going to introduce you guys to my brother in the cut. Always here for me. Just let you guys know, and then I'm going to open up the others to my other co-hosts. Rodog, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. You know, I think this is going to be an interesting show for Eddie. I really do. I really, really do. I agree. You need both sides. You need the street smarts and you need the book smarts. But you need one other ingredient. You know what that is, Poetic?
God.
Uh-oh. Got it to the cliff. You're getting ready to fall over. Logic.
You need God, man.
Well, God and logic. You need logic.
There you go.
You have to know which one to apply and the timing. You know, without logic, you can be smart, but you can also come up short. Being street smart.
Be brief, Rodog, because we're going to go right back
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, and being street smart, you have to have logic with that. So other than that, you know, that's just my opening statement. Don't worry. I'm not throwing you off the bridge right this minute.
Y'all hear that? Did y'all hear what that brother said? He has a plot. Let's bring in Twyla, and then we're going to bring in John Lowe. Twyla, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Twyla.
Hello.
Hello.
How everybody doing this evening?
Good.
That's good.
What do you think about what he is saying? The book or the street?
Open statement, Twyla. Be brief.
Okay. They both important. You definitely need them both. Without a doubt. I mean, you got to survive. You need to survive in this life. And those two are important to survive. So they're really, I mean, you got to have them. It's important.
Awesome. And John Lowe.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Break it down, brother.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, John.
How you doing? See, street smart is like on the job training, what you go through in life, you know, and stuff like that. It's street smart. It's like on job training because you've been out there in the streets and stuff like that. But you must have book smartness also, because street smartness will get
you to answer the door to get
street. Street smartness gets you
Go ahead, John.
Yeah.
I just heard somebody's voice, and I got everybody line open, guys, just to let you guys know, this is a discussion. So if you need to put your phone on mute while until we come to you, please do so. Appreciate it. Now, you have the floor, John.
Okay. Street smartness is like on the job training and stuff like that, because you got on-hand experience about that street smartness. But book smartness, you must have. In life also with all the different kind of technology and stuff like that. Street smartness will get you in the door, but book smartness also going to help you keep you there in the door, whatever career, whatever you decide to go into.
Extremely, extremely a good opening statement, John. Appreciate that. All right, guys, I'm going to go around the floor. I'm going to start off with Shabadoo, guys, and I'm going to let him break down some insight of his career in this industry of entertainment. Shabadoo, if you would, enlighten us. Let us know who you are, what you do, what are you doing now, and how can you help us affect change going forward. You have the floor.
Well, I like to open with I'm a success story in the making. I'm a flower still in bloom, and every day I see life as a new challenge, and as life, you know, presents itself with challenges, and through these challenges I have grown tremendously. As a person, I thirst for knowledge, I thirst to learn, I thirst to deal with people on a human level. That's me as a person. My art is everything to me. When I'm performing and I'm creating, I feel as close to God as I could ever possibly be. I feel that I'm in his bosom when that's happening. Now, I started my career as a 3-year-old dancing in parties during the holidays. I really started there at 3 and 4 years old, and at some point in my early teens, me and my sister, we danced in and around the Chicago area and developed and grew a name for ourselves there. And eventually, my mom did what she calls, she took our feet off the glass and put them on grass, moved us from the projects in the inner city areas of Chicago, and moved us to Placentia, California, where we became one of the original Soul Train gang. And 3 months into the show, my life literally changed. Me and 5 other guys and a white girl, we formed the first professional street dance troupe called The Lockers and changed dance in the world forever by creating a sort of Bari Boys, Keystone Cop, gymnastic, ultra-soulful dance form created by Don Campbell originally and then codified and brought to a professional level by the group themselves, ourselves. And
I just pretty much lived a dream and a fairy tale life. And after that, at some point, as we all do, we outgrow our initial job descriptions, if you will. And we thirst for more, and we want to grow. And I went on a solo career. I embarked on a solo career about 1977. And one of my biggest jobs out of the chute was performing on Broadway with Bette Midler at the Majestic Theater. And it was in that show that Steve Allen, the late Steve Allen, was there and brought me to NBC. And I was signed by Brandon Tartikoff, the president of NBC, and had my own television series on NBC with Neil Carter, the late Neil Carter, Graham Chapman, myself, Mimi Kennedy, and Steve Allen was the host. And I performed and co-choreographed and co-conceived huge production numbers in collaboration with David Winters, one of the original stars of West Side Story. And that show made me a national dance star without any training, just having a sense of myself, learning in the streets, being a street dancer, learning and being inspired by my environment. Led to that wonderful opportunity. And after that, everything just kind of really opened up. The floodgates opened up, and before you know it, I was on the set of Breakin'. But that was it was a bit of a journey getting there, though. However, I choreographed a music video for Lionel Richie called All Night Long, and that kind of led me down the road as a choreographer, the television show, and I was doing the music videos, and I originally went to choreograph the film Breakin', and I had already secured a role on another film called Body Rock, which we now affectionately refer to as Body Flop. But at one point, the producers called me and said, "Hey, you know what? We wanted a guy that girls would like." You know, that really hurt. I was like, "Okay, so girls don't like me." They figure. They like Lorenzo Lamas, so they put Lorenzo Lamas in the role. I'm out of a job. I go and meet with Menachem Golan. That conversation, discussion about choreographing the film led to, hey, you know, I looked exactly like I did in the movie. I was wearing those clothes. I was dressed in full Shabadoo regalia, if you will, the earring, the beads, the buckles, the studs and all that stuff. And he just said, "Hey, why don't you audition?" And I thought, well, you know what? I was about 29 years old, about to turn 30, and the character was for 18 years old. And I went, and I wasn't an actor per se, but I said, "Hey, you know what? I'm just going to go in there and play myself. I'm just going to be Shabadoo." And I went in there smoking a cigarette, being all Chicago-like. If you've been to Chicago, you know what I'm talking about, but just being all Chicago-like and smoking my cigarette. And then they were looking at me. I was looking at them. They were looking at me. I was looking at them. And then they said, "Hey, you know, you could start anytime you want." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So then someone sent me a line off camera. They said, "Who's next?" And I said, "Ozone, street dancer," like that. And it just got quiet in the room. And as Bette Midler said, it got so quiet you can hear a dog farting so old. Anyway, so I said, "Okay." So I get in my car. I said, "I don't care. I just want to choreograph the movie. Plus, the guy's only 18. I'm almost 30, right?" I get a few blocks away, and they said, "They want you for the part of Ozone." And I said, "Really?" They said, "Yeah." They said, you possess the leadership qualities that we were looking for." And so I brought in other members of my crew, Boogaloo Shrimp, who went on to play Turbo, Poppin' Taco, who was kind of my nemesis in the film, part of the Electro Rock, and then Poppin' Pete from Electro Boogaloo, Anna Sanchez, Lil Coco, and so forth. And then history was made. And that
got a question for you.
Yeah.
How, to you, at that point in time in your career, where did your book smarts come in, and where did your street smarts apply? If
okay,
you had
at this
to go
point,
back then, where do you see the bridge?
At this point, I was operating on nothing exclusively but street smart fumes. There was really no formal education per se. I was a total.
So when you say that, when you said this is ozone, took on the role of something that, that you was feeling.
I was saying, from the moment of the street. I was acting in that movie and the way I was in those days, just like I was when I was in Chicago running around in the projects and in and out of gangs, Latin Kings, what have you, you know. And I was that kind of guy. And you had to be really smart in those neighborhoods. You had to know when to open your mouth, when to shut up, and you had to pay attention. And you had to pay attention on a fine, fine level. It was almost like the same kind of a focus that you see lions on a Discovery Channel or Animal Planet, you know, scoping out their prey or whatever. You have to be focused. If not, you're going to be a statistic really quick. And especially a guy like me who's in part Puerto Rican, part black, with a funny name, like Adolfo Quiñones. Adolfo Quiñones in a black neighborhood is not the kind of name you really want right away. They would start calling me names like Alpo and things, you know. So, and you had to kind of put up with it a little bit. So you had to know when you had to fight. You had to know what you were fighting for. And you had to know when to walk away and then when to back down and still maintain some level of dignity. That whole thing really, really worked for me in negotiating in Hollywood. Being able to, let me tell you something, there's no bigger gang members in this world that are more vicious and can get you by your throat than the people and the producers and the Hollywood industry. I'm going to tell you that right now, baby. They are just as frightening, educated, mind you, but just as street and just as clever as any of those street people. So my street skills and my street education aided me in being able to make the best deals possible. My education didn't come into play until post-break-in.
Okay, now look, I'm smart enough right now. I got some street smarts. I got Posse that's on the show that always supports me. I know when to fold them right now, and I know when to hold them. And I'm going to let these guys ask you questions and be a part of this discussion because they'll get on me and they'll be beating me up later. So I'm going to start with the ladies first. Twyla, what's your thoughts? Yes. You got any questions? And, you know, I'm scared here. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to let you guys go now.
I don't know. I was kind of agreeing with him. I know being street smart, you have to be observing. I mean, it's like he was saying. You got to watch. You got to pay attention. You got to be on your toes at all times because simply you can be devoured at any time. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's so important. But I think a lot of the character that you become in being street smart can play a big part, with your attitude and just being, what's the word? Charismatic. I mean, it's like it can bring you
charisma
to a level.
Huh?
Y'all gonna have to excuse me because I've been kind of moving. I'm a little drained. So I'm a little rusty today.
Were you trying to say charismatic?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just important. Like I said, it's important. Street smart, book smart. I mean, to survive, to live, to be able to provide. You got to be. But when you talk about the streets, I mean, it's serious. It can be real serious. They both serious. Because when you think about book smart, you got to be able to, you need to be able to survive for yourself, provide for yourself. And I mean,
so
if you want
to
be on a certain level.
You need to know how to protect yourself on a legal scale. And that's where your book smart come in.
And I mean, on a book, being book smart, because I'm just saying, if you ain't got the on a legal aspect, what you mean far as when you in the industry?
Yeah, you just have to be able to know what you're signing. Because don't get me wrong,
definitely.
You don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
You can
wind
yourself up.
Yeah,
years,
putting it like that, yeah,
under,
definitely.
A bad contract.
Yeah, because this thing all the people have been taken advantage of because they wasn't book smart and was in the industry, and they were taken advantage of because of their producers and people, you know, was producing them, and their managers and their accountants and everything financially had broke them because of them not having the knowledge of what, of, you know, basically how, what they were reading, and, you know, yeah, so that's important. Yeah, it's really important.
I agree.
But then
Eric,
you talk about street
Eric
smart, like that's survival. When you think about the street smart,
Twyla.
Yeah.
Let me bring in Eric.
Okay.
What's your thoughts, sir? On what you've heard them say so far. What if you got?
I promise. I'm going to be concise and to the point. I'm a little bit older than the rest of you young folk. So maybe that helps.
Okay,
but
we got somebody going to compete with you on that in a few minutes, but go ahead.
I have done business on an international level for over 30 years.
Okay.
I'm fluent in most European languages and their sub-tongues. And I'm a mixed individual, so people have said I am racially ambiguous.
Okay.
In my experience, I can compare Shabadoo to Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, and even to Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee had street smarts from China, and Bruce Lee had to have book smarts on the global level. Bruce Lee, after Green Hornet was bombed, and he couldn't get the Kung Fu show and gave it to David Carradine, who can't even fight, he's just a dancer. So Bruce Lee had to summon up all of his street smarts, all of his book smarts. And people look at Bruce Lee movies over again and again and again because it intoxicates them. And people look at Shabadoo's movies, look at his concerts with Madonna over and over again because Shabadoo intoxicates them. That's all I got to say.
Well, I have one thing to say. Thank you. you know. Here it is. We're talking about, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum. We're talking about street smart, and we're talking about education, or what we've been terming as book smart. But there's another kind of intelligence that I didn't learn until later on in my life that is equally as important that should now be a sort of triangle that we should be talking about, and that is emotional intelligence. When I started walking down that line and realizing that I am responsible for my actions and how I feel and what I do and as I do as a result of it, and sometimes, mind you, I fail miserably at it, and I'm not good at it, and I'm human, and I have all kinds of excuses to tell you why I'm not, and I can bore you with all the circumstances to tell you why I'm not. But, you know, the times that I do have control of my emotional intelligence, when I allow to tap into that, I'm able to see the playing field a lot with a better sober eye. I'm able then to allow my intelligence to kick in, and rather than reach for the easier methods, which is what I used in my earlier life as a street person, which was going to the physical, you know, I'll just kick you behind kind of attitude. Well, I don't need to kick you behind. You can have your opinion. I can have my opinion. And we can find a better way to a better solution. So if I could stress that as well, that's equally as important. And that's what these young people are not really owning up to or embracing in today's art society. They're not really embracing the emotional part. Don't let people that are negotiating on your behalf or turn your love for something around on you so that they use it against you because you're so emotional. I'll just do it. I just want to be on stage. So I'll sell my soul. I'll do whatever. Don't do that.
Oh, my God. You just said something very, very, very important. That they need to hear. And I'm going to tell you, we are at that point of the show that we have to take a brief break. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. And tonight, guys, we're talking about book smarts versus street smarts. We got your boy Shabadoo from the movie Breaking, and Breaking 1, Breaking 2. And actually, he got a wealth of information to say. Seems like we also got, and I got my crew and my posse with me, and we're going to go full deck with them as well. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Stay with us.
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business, your music, or music products. Starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development,
website hosting,
internet audio presentation,
voiceovers,
professional beat production,
publicity,
radio and record promotion,
consulting,
corporate identities,
event planning and promoting,
printing, graphic design,
CD pressing
and duplication,
voice on home,
radio commercial production,
CD commercial production,
video production,
call conversion,
contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
Yeah, yeah, it's your boy T. Clizark, multi-platinum West Coast beat creator, and I'm chilling right here on Hip Hop National Radio, where the information for success flow like a river, and you do know that.
What's up, it's your boy David Verity, a.k.a. The Truth, and you're now rocking to the sounds of Hip Hop National Radio.
This is Lawrence Glover, and I'm chilling with Lady Di, Myra Morris, and Poetic on HipHopNationalRadio.com.
HipHopNational.com.
All right, guys, we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Sometimes this button pushing thing don't operate the way you want it to. Anyway, you go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com. We want to interact with your music today. We want to connect with you as we can, when we can, and we'd like to hear your music soon. Just to give you guys a heads up. And we want you to pray for us on this one. We are going to be bringing back Jammer to Slam It. And we hope to touch bases with you guys and start to spread our arms and get the excitement going again right here on the program. All right. Tonight, guys, we have a special guest. Like I said, Shabadoo is what right now. He did some stuff in the industry. But what he has to say tonight, which I really respect, is telling us about, you know, what he learned during his experience as far as his book smarts and his street smarts. And it really touched notes on what we're saying. I wanted to go to Raw Dog when I came back. And then I'm going to also open up your line to Shabadoo. Raw Dog, what's your thoughts about what you've heard them say thus far? And how, you know, give us some of your pointers.
Well, you know what? Now, being the elder on the board, I get to take that.
You say you're the oldest, right? Eric said.
Don't start nothing.
Hey, man, I'm
Poetic, I'm 60, you ain't right.
I'm 63 years old, and 63 is a new 43, okay?
Well, see, okay. You know what? I'm going to say it like this. Hey, you know what? I'm proud to be my age. You know, if I don't think about my age, I will not get to be an older age, okay? I'll be out there trying to play basketball with these young kids and hurt myself. So, no. I take it slow. But, hey, I welcome someone that has also some years so we can teach these young folks a little bit of what they need to know. I appreciate it.
As Howard Wolf said, I ain't go for speed, I'm go for comfort.
There you go. You know, and when they're talking about this subject tonight, it's kind of funny to me because when you're young, we would call you street smart because you're surviving with young people. But when you start to think of the world and what you want, such as that house and the picket fence and the car and, you know, retirement and all of those things, that's when you become book smart. Because, you see, as you gain assets, you want to keep them. And the only way you can keep them is being intelligent enough to understand contracts and the wording in the contract and what the word default means rather than, hey, you didn't pay. No, you defaulted. Mm-hmm. You know, what does foreclosure mean, you know? So you start to having to learn the book smarts because you don't want to lose everything that you're trying to gain. You know,
and the
so
street
the
view
more,
of that is you don't want to be made a fool out of either.
Well, see, there you go. See, it turns into the type of thing that how hard do you want to work for your money? You see what I'm saying? In other words, with education comes a higher pay rate, comes a more prestigious job. You know, you can look out the window and see somebody, you know, with a shovel in the street as you pick up the phone and you talk to a client because of your education. And you're making five times what he's making an hour. You know, so you start to understand the level to which you want to rise to and how to get there. You know, there's
and
a,
that's because
you know,
brains last longer than muscles. It's just the way it is.
Well, yes, yes, that's very, very true. That's very true. And, you know, and what we're talking about in the street sense and the book sense, the one thing you have to have after that is logical sense. You know, you have to be able to weigh the two. You know, the older you get, you leave the streets to people out there on the streets that want to do on the streets because, hey, you realize the games that people play, they change constantly. The street games change. You know, people say they stay the same. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
You know, that's just like I was talking to a friend on the phone that swore to me that his smartphone hadn't been hacked, but we're hearing somebody dialing out while we're talking, okay? I'm telling him, I got a landline. He's telling me, oh, I'm on my smartphone. It has to be your phone, and I'm going, no.
Street smarts are amplified to the hyperspeed of new apps.
Yes. The new technology has got people that have a higher level of street smarts to get around having to pay for their telephone service by being able to hook into another's. You know, so when we talk about the street smarts and we talk about the book smarts, you know, it's you got to balance the two. And it depends on what type of person you want to be, you know. If you want to be a lawyer, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a professor, you know, you're going to have that education. Even in the music industry, you know, not everyone that I've met in the industry has, you know, the book knowledge. Now, I happened to see Shabadoo here in Seattle years ago at the Cotton Club. He was with, Carl Grigsby and Dimitri Joe Freeman.
Oh, yes.
And see, so I saw the talent. But you know what? When you're young, you want to show the talent and experience all of that comes with it. Money is not the biggest goal. It's about
expressing yourself.
And
again,
seeing the country.
To reference. Coming back to expressions from the master Bruce Lee, that martial arts allowed him to express himself. And Microsoft allowed Bill Gates to express himself.
Now, I got to tell you now, I grew up here in the city and when Bruce Lee was running around. Now, I can tell you some stories about Bruce. Okay.
Small world.
See, Bruce was like everybody else, but he was good at what he did. Okay. He was a wild child when he was a teenager in high school, He threw somebody through a plate glass window at a hamburger place because they wouldn't leave him alone. He wasn't that big of a guy, okay, but he was a hell of a nice guy. And, yeah, I can tell you stories there. But, you know, the whole thing about it, everybody's got their own different pathways. And putting together a good life. Now, is that having everything? No. You can't take it with you. Is that having some of the things in life that you might want? Because I don't think you ever make enough money you can have everything you want. And, you know, and no matter how high you rise and how much book knowledge you have, you're always going to have the carpetbaggers running trying to grab what you got. Catch 22.
Yes.
Who's this guy with the L.A. Clippers? He was talking to, a female friend? Now look at him come and grab. How much
money
does
he have?
In
a year from now, he'll be out of the news.
Well, but see, guess what? See, that's the price of opening your door. He wasn't street smart enough. He should have said, ooh, something, she got a play going on. But he's business. He didn't make his money by being stupid, but he's not street smart.
Well, I must agree, and I think you will agree, all of us will agree, that street smarts and book smarts add to your longevity. And I'm just appalled that nobody's appreciating Shabadoo like they should. But you know what? At any moment, it's going to pop open because he is an American, if not a world icon. But again, all of us, we have to have street smarts. We have to have book smarts. And we have to have the savvy of knowing when to reveal our hand like a poker player and when not.
When to hold,
well,
when to fold. You're right.
Well, you know, I tell you, you know, I've been listening and I'm going to weigh in a little bit. You know, the thing is, you know, and I think we're all in agreement here that street smart and academics, they complement each other, and they can. I've been in a position where I've been around long enough where I've seen a number of my colleagues, street colleagues, really eat it, and it was painful to watch. They were unable, in most cases, and in even greater cases, unwilling to adapt to a new environment, and it was painful to watch. It was like watching a very slow death, if you've ever seen anything like that. And, you know, they just didn't want to learn anything. You know, I'm just a street guy. That's enough. You know, I'm tough. That's enough. No, it's not enough. It is not enough. I've posted on Facebook a number of times. The new swagger is intelligence. That's the new swagger. All this posturing and looking at all the things I have and what all the things I've accumulated in this rust prone life that we're living is kind of ignorant in a way. And again, it's painful to watch these people put so much stock in how many cars they're getting or how much jewelry they're getting or how many houses they're buying, and not really focusing on what is really important in this life, and that's the relationships that we have with each other. It's those types of things that are our true riches. And that's the part that tells you your intelligence. You don't learn that in a book. You don't learn that in the streets. Life teaches you that. It's a different kind of education that only time can give you, where you can look at something and just sit on the bench and have human contact with your elderly or a very young child and listen to them and exchange ideas and concepts and challenge each other even sometimes in a healthy way, not in the way they do now, calling you names that everybody's a hater, everybody's, no, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, well, hey, you know what? We're all fighting or not fighting, all living for the same life. That's to be happy at the end of the day, to find joy at the end of the day. And then when a person reaches this sort of zenith in their life and this zenith of understanding in their life, that they start to realize that is where their riches truly lie. That's where their success truly lies. And that's what I'm starting to really understand every day, you know. And, again, emotional intelligence allowed me to be able to open up that part of my sensory. You know, there's three things I teach in my class, and I teach my students, aside from physical movement or dancing or any of that kind of stuff. I teach them what I call the ESP. We must have these three things happening on a very high level in order for us to be able to experience our art, whether it be music, dance, sculpture, painting, what have you. It doesn't even art in mathematics. There's art in quantum physics. There's art in spirituality. There's all of that. But in order to be able to achieve that, you should have an emotion, an emotional feeling towards someone that looks for a way to be able to communicate and move each other viscerally. That is important. The other one, the S in ESP, is a spiritual. And you can believe in God, believe in Buddha, believe in what you want to believe in, but believe in something that is important for the human experience, and so that it elevates us to another level. Then there's that P. The P is that practical side of ourselves that you can only learn through education, through a sort of intellectual understanding of what purpose is. So when you have that driven inside of you, that true north compass inside of us that drives us towards our goals, drives us towards our dreams, how do we practically put that together? Well, you need to be able to study that. That takes an intellect. So all three of these pistons must happen. You don't do this. You could say, you know, there's no God if you want to. You could say that if you want to. God may or may not decide what you will find out to be true. That's God's work. I don't get into what people believe, but for me, I believe in God. I believe that there's a higher order. And sometimes I am not being my absolute best. And when I'm not my absolute best, when I'm not in concert with this greater creative direction from my Father, that's when I fail the most. And so, again, time is the true teacher. It is the true book knowledge, time.
It's like recipe, a great recipe. If you forget or get lazy and don't include all the parts and follow it, it won't be successful. I appreciate what you're saying, man.
I got to tell you, man, that was a great recipe. I like what you said. So the E stands for the essence, for essence?
No. Yeah, E stands for emotion.
Emotions, okay.
Yeah.
And then you said the P,
is
spiritual, and the P is purpose.
Is the purpose and practicality
and
the physical.
Practicality.
Yes.
Okay.
ESP.
Practicality. Okay, yes, it was a very good formula, man, I'll be honest with you.
It was a painful journey.
And to realize you'd never stop learning and you should never stop honing your skills. I often have an example that has been effective in that if you have 2 6-foot-5 men who are out to chop wood, they both have the same axe, same model number of the axe, but one of them chops more wood consistently. Why? Because one of them remembers to sharpen their axe.
Amen. Iron sharpens iron too, brother. we're going to bring in John Lowe. John Lowe, I know you've just been sitting off in the cut. Said, man, when Poetic going to get to me? What's wrong with this dude? John Lowe, you have the floor, sir.
I mean, it was a lot of great points made tonight's program. You know, that's why I recommend to all the young sign artists to get educated right here. Right here, you can get your education. Because I'm telling you, these people here bring hard, straight up, and put it in your face. And like I said, these people don't been there and done that. And Shabadoo, I would like to say, I love that video, Lionel Richie, all night long. That's one of my favorite videos. I love that video.
Thank you.
But diversification hold us to hostage because we did not adapt to our environment. And that's one point that you brought out about adaptation and stuff like that. So this is a pre-flat world. Patience is the most important key to surviving in this world right now. Is patience, and to survive and observe everything. That's why I went and started studying. I went and got a book about making music your business because I'm a manager. So what I had to do to go out there and prepare myself and get my mind together, because just like you said, you got some vicious people out there in this industry, and they got majority of the street people, the street smart people, to bring in these people into the industry. And then so once they bring them in, you know, then that's when the devourment starts with the people that got all this book smartness and stuff like that, dealing with the contracts, you know, to confuse your mind. Kids doesn't know about the royalties, how much percentage that you get from the royalties and all different sorts of thing about contracts and what the contract means. I think Raw Dog touched on some of that earlier. So it's very important to educate yourself. You doesn't have to go to school, but pick up a book. Learn something about what you're going into. If you're going into music, you know, find somebody that's successful in music and what did they have to do to be successful. And find out who taught them what they needed to do and to learn. You need to surround yourself with only high quality, qualified people in life that don't been, you know, that have been through some things in life. And like I said, this is one show that I recommend for all the unsigned artists to really get this inside scoop about this this music industry, about the business part of it. Like I said, this is a great show, and that's all I got to say for it.
Well, I can say this, John. You said something. Learn your craft. You said something that I personally fall short of right here, and I'm gonna point it out. For many years, I said, "Oh, I'm in the music business." Well, don't get me wrong. Yes, we dabble in the music business by teaching you the business of music. That's our content. That's the value that we bring to our program. But in all reality, I in recent terms started really studying the broadcasting business, the podcasting business, because that's the industry that we at Hip Hop National is really in. So for many years, I was barking up the wrong tree. And, yes, even though I would sit and study the books on the music business so we could have something to talk about, well, we also engage in a different form of business. And with that said, we need sponsors for the program. So if anybody, you guys know of any sponsors, please send them our way at Hip Hop National, www.hiphopnational.com. We need more sponsors. We need to get the word out more and more, because we need to continue to impact our youth who has a great voice in the industry. And it's very important that their voice in the industry be channeled, because if you look and listen to some of the young people's music that's coming in, and we get a lot of chances of being able to hear it here. But what's happening is it's beginning to lose its value in the sense of some of the things that's said out of the music. And be honest with you, if some of our forefathers were to hear it, who fought very hard for our freedom of speech and all of these things, like it's time for me to chime in now.
I have to come in now. We have two historical figures that have set a precedent on being book smart and street smart: Berry Gordy, of course, and Sam Cooke. These two individuals own their music, own their lyrics. They set a precedent for how it should be done so that they remain lucrative and have longevity. Before Berry Gordy, it was a mess. Before Sam Cooke, it was a mess. Those two people stand today as icons of how to do it properly, and they were street smart and book smart, just like Shabadoo and Bruce Lee, and hopefully others will continue in their path.
I agree. Thank you for that, because really that's important. And not to mention, I want you guys to think about it. We just lost Maya Angelou, who literally she rose above the crowd in poetry, and she to the point that she was recognized by the president for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our intelligence can lead us in great places, and our lyrics, our talents can take us to great places, very good heights, if we channel it properly.
Maya Angelou came from abject poverty. She did the work. She did the work, and will shine forever as a jewel of any human in existence.
You know, again, I allow me to weigh in there about Maya Angelou and just my own thoughts. I've been hearing across the board and social networks, even now on this conversation, this discussion, we talk about loss. We say, well, you know, we lost Maya Angelou. We lost this. We lost that. But you know what? No, we didn't. We're talking about Maya Angelou more than when she was alive. She's more alive now than she ever has been. It's remarkable to me. People that haven't even talked about her in their everyday language, everyday conversations, never. We're not discussing Maya at all. But today.
But
she's more alive than she ever has. And the point I'm making is, and again, that's touching on that spiritual aspect I'm talking about, is that her seeds of knowledge, her very existence has now been elevated to immortality because she lives within each of us now. She's a part of our everyday discussion now. We recognize her in us, part of her goodness in us. And that part makes her more alive than she ever has been. And she will continue to be for the hundreds of years from now.
Well, I think she went down in history. She left something behind that can be picked up by the next generation and the next generation, just like your Shabadoo. Your movie will go on
with,
in history. Go ahead.
With losing her. You know, now that, you know, she's gone, I think everybody everybody felt was always there and knew who she was. I loved her. I respected her. I loved her poetry. I'm into poetry. So that was, I've been on, you know, loving her from forever. So, you know, the words that she spoke, the wisdom, the sophisticated way that she gave it, the way she delivered it, it was just beautiful, the words, the encouragement, the way she, you know, she lift you up and encourage you in her poetry, different things that you can embrace from it. I think everybody, by losing her, we were all reflecting on what she had done and what she had gave. I don't think it's, you know, so much everybody's like, you know, praising her so much now that she's gone. I think it was just the fact that we're all recognizing all what she done. As everybody was responding on TV and on Facebook, they were just responding for how she touched their lives.
And it's
know?
Also a wake-up call to say to people that are icons among us now, we like your work. We appreciate your work. And Shabadoo, I'm telling you, dude, I know so many people that appreciate your work. Don't stop, man.
Well, he's going to go down in history. What he did in those movies are going to be historical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he has left a legacy already that others will follow. See, when we talk about people like that, you know, Alex Haley, he left something that is going to go on and become a historical point. Actually, they were giving college credits for students watching Roots. So when we start talking about the shadow that you cast, see, because as you go along this way, it's about the things that you contribute and give and leave behind.
Sure.
Because, you see, we can all pass through this way, but how many are going to be remembered? You know, there are a lot that have done nothing, and they are easily forgotten.
Right.
Or even one-hit wonders, or even those one-hit wonders.
But they still touched somebody's life. In spite of they was a one-hit wonder, they still played a part. And they left something, and you're going to remember that one hit forever. And so and it's always going to be recognized.
I'm okay with one-hit wonders.
Me too.
They worked with it because of the fact that they worked so hard to live to get to the point of their dream, and maybe that's all they ever really wanted.
I think it's so sad too, in a way, when people the way people express it, because they usually use that as a form of diss.
But then you think of all
the people who have not had no hits,
had that opportunity.
Right. It's better one
never
hit than
made
none.
That
no
never made that impact.
One hit than none.
That
was a
one
hit
phrase.
But I wonder where you were
looking at. The one phrase that people aren't looking at is that you can't take money with you.
You sure can, honey.
But
you can.
You left something behind
that
had an effect and now will last so others can hear you, see you, read you.
Yeah.
You see, you know,
yeah.
It's like the archive.
Change.
It's like the Egyptians. They're still trying to figure out the hieroglyphics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't think
yes.
So when you start to look at this whole thing, the shadow that you cast and the footsteps that you leave are the most important, not what you got to show people today. It's about the individual and the contribution of who you are and what you have inside.
Right.
And you gave, and you didn't just take.
That's right. That's exactly right. Bruce Lee, prime example, he gave his all. He died behind complications with all the things he was doing. There's a rumor that they killed him because he was showing too much, but I don't believe that.
Right.
I just think
I remember that rumor.
He went beyond the limits of the human body, okay? Because he was a total weapon from the top to his little toe. So, you know, and they didn't have special effects back then.
No.
So what you saw is what he did.
He was good. I love
so
him.
So when we talk about, you know, the street smarts and the book sense, well, the logic says, what did you do to leave an imprint that you were here?
Mm-hmm.
And Rodolph,
what you said right there, I want to say something there. I'd rather be that one-hit wonder, knowing that I left something of good quality content for people to learn forever and change their life, than to never, ever got to that part of my life and never made it happen, knowing that I slept on it.
Right.
And also, your street knowledge and your book knowledge. Book knowledge, sometimes some people say it is dependent upon your elocution and your vocabulary. But look how smart James Brown was. If he didn't have a lyric, the words for a lyric, he would just say, ha. And so, again, I am so happy that at least we're talking to an artist like Shabadoo, he can articulate. I think that's pretty good. I'll tell you this, just
one point about the one-hit artist again, or one-hit wonder. There's not one-hit wonder that ever started out to be a one-hit wonder. They didn't say, yeah, you know what, let's put all our energy and make one hit.
Right.
that didn't happen that way. And when people think that way, they really don't have a clear understanding of all the moving parts that happen here in Hollywood. There are a lot of variables that happen here. All kinds of things that you wouldn't that couldn't even make it to television. You couldn't even make a movie about it. It's too terrible to even talk about. That will prevent you from being a two-hit wonder or a three-hit wonder or any of that stuff. So a lot of it happens.
Let's talk about
because they lack talent. That was the,
well,
that's the point.
Well, let's talk about those who got talent and who got the talent. And they definitely, they have all what it takes, but they just so street smart, they're so clever that they wind up in jail because of the fact that they so street smart and they can't let it go.
They don't take the
book smart to, so they can keep their money and keep
themselves out of those.
But you can be book smart and still not and still lack that and still make bad choices.
Illness.
It's just right. Either way.
Hey, we had it. Hey,
I mean, how many people we see that
I'm
here,
Rod Smart. I'm going to give you book smart.
Yeah, we
had
we watched the news.
Working for the prosecuting attorney's office. He was one of the bigwigs.
Yeah.
Got on the bus, public bus, and was exposing himself.
Hmm.
And they arrested him. Now, he had then had other charges brought by other females when he went to get a massage and all of these things. Now, the mental illness is rampant, okay?
Yeah.
And I said in this equation of street smart, book smart,
mm-hmm.
you had to have logical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But then you know what? Then you can also think about just the fact of greed. Now, we see a lot of intelligent men all the time. Watch them on the news. Even with the sportscaster, and he's on the news, embezzling money, doing something. I mean, the greed of it. I mean, just greed. How they say the love of money is the root of all evil.
And also hubris. Also hubris.
Yeah. So it's like, you know,
mental illness.
It has nothing to do with it. It's just that level of
mental illness can kick in at any time.
True.
You may not see it,
but greed can. Greed can.
Yeah.
A lot of different things can kick in at any time.
Well, I tell
you, privilege behind money is a mental illness.
Here's the thing: is that from my experience, and I've been around some very wealthy people, and I've made a pretty penny in my life. But I tell you, it's money is not the root of all evil. The thought of money is the root of all evil.
Let me explain something to you. I said the love of it. There are people who love it so much. I mean, truly, we need it to survive. But the love is so much that will do. We see it all the time. That will do anything for it. And that's
right,
where
because,
it comes, the root of all evil. Because when you love it so much that you will do anything for it, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, because underlying money is not what money is not the money itself; it's the power that it produces. So the root of all evil is the power and the thirsting for power, and which leads to control and which is domination. I tell you what: if you could tell somebody right now that you could have all the power you want, but they're not giving you money, they'll take the power.
Well, see now,
wait a minute now.
Power or privilege? Because I hear what you're saying about power, but I think what it is that they believe that they are privileged enough that no matter what they do, that there isn't a penalty that they cannot pay. There was a kid that was driving a car. Now, wait a minute. They just came out with this. This is a new psychological evaluation. There was a boy that was driving under the influence, and he killed four people. He went to court. I believe this might have been in Texas. And they came up with a psychological point that they had diagnosed that he had a syndrome of being privileged,
mm-hmm.
so there would be no penalty that would be put upon him. So they gave him probation, and they said that it was a new discovery in psychology.
I just call it hubris.
Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
either way, put it like this. Mental illness behind money can grow like cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let's not fool
mm-hmm.
ourselves. Okay?
So it's an evil cocktail. It's an evil cocktail.
It can be in the hands and the decision-making of someone that becomes mentally ill or unbalanced or under the influence.
I'm saying, let us bring this all back to the value of street smarts and book smarts.
Well, that's where it goes to. Book smarts has nothing uh-huh. to do with it. I said the lawyer, which meant he must have had a degree, right?
Are we
so
talking lawyer
smart.
Jokes or liar jokes? Lawyer
but
jokes
what
or liar
happens
jokes.
Is different. Without that logical point coming in
yes.
and a mental illness, a privilege, he got on a public bus and was exposing himself.
Right.
Okay, now how
wow.
do you describe that? Because that is a factual case. See, we're seeing
well,
more and
say,
more of it.
I would say Raw Dog, he's definitely maybe book smart, but he definitely...
Whoa, stop.
Wait.
Let's go to California. Let's go over here where the boy just shot all these college kids. He's driving a BMW.
In Santa Monica, right.
He doesn't have a job.
But some of them just have the money that's been passed down to them.
Illness.
He definitely had a demon.
He was book smart. Okay?
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
the logic?
And you can also add lazy. Imagine the
yeah.
kind of work that
mm-hmm.
goes into
yeah.
artists like James Brown or Bruce Lee or Shabadoo. Those people have to get up and work. They have to work out. They have
mm-hmm.
to think. They have
right.
to choreograph. They have to coordinate. They have to do the work.
That's true.
They didn't fall off a turnip truck being able to do what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with
yeah.
mental illness falls
but
in,
you know,
like
some
James
of them
Brown getting chased across the state lines under the influence of drugs, and then he went to prison.
And
but
if
you
he
know,
had been,
well,
he
well,
been
well,
healthy,
a lot
he
of them,
gone, he wouldn't have gone anywhere. So
they,
that's another story.
They were born with
did.
That silver spoon in their mouth. They didn't have to put up no effort to do anything, like he was just saying. You know, a lot of them. Most of them worked and they did whatever they had to do. But then you got these kids of some of these, like that young boy that you're talking about. They were wealthy. In movies and whatever. They was on. They had money. He. I don't know what to say. I mean, definitely, you know, he had a mental problem. Something was definitely wrong with him. But they had everything, and they didn't. Most of the time, they don't work for nothing. They be just spoiled and out of control and. Doing drugs and whatever.
Well, I'm going to say this.
Don't care, then.
How could we help channel those who does have some book smarts and some that have some street smarts? How could we as a community, I'm talking about elders, kind of pass the baton back to our youth? I'm going to start with
because when those hardworking artists, have projects, we support them. That's how we do it. We support them. They have a movie, we go see.
We support them in what way?
We show up and we tell our friends and our immediate friends and guests and neighbors all about go see this artist. They have something to offer that has lasting value. Maya Angelou.
This is Shabadoo speaking, right?
No,
no,
this is Eric.
This is Eric.
Chicago.
Okay. Your voice kind of, the quality of, the tone of your voice kind of similar to
people
me.
People in the world
okay.
bought Maya Angelou's
okay.
books. They
mm-hmm.
they paid to see her perform. They went to see her. They supported her. No artist can survive without support. That's how we support them. And these idiots out here who don't appreciate hard work, ignore them.
You say that. Okay. We got an artist that's going to be performing tomorrow in Miami. Are you going to be able to get there and support him?
I cannot because I'm in Chicago and I got a family.
That's
but but I'm going to go see Berry Gordy's Motown here in Chicago.
That's Berry Gordy. How about these young people that's coming up now So that sometimes they're out in the streets, they're panhandling their CDs, boom, boom. They're telling people, hey, man, look, here's my music. How do we support them and kind of give them a leg up?
You go to the performances in high school. You attend the performances in college. You go to the local theaters. You do it.
Okay, look, wait. At the end of the day, you still have to have talent. And you can sell as many CDs you want to in the corner. I'm not going to buy everybody's CD because they produce a CD. I still have to enjoy that CD. I still want that product presented to me in a proper manner. But you just start rushing up to me while I'm trying to get my gas in my car because I'm on my way to a meeting. You're probably not going to get my attention. But there are other more effective ways to be able to market these CDs or what have you. But some of that, but the whole notion that somebody's performing in Miami, if you live in Chicago or Tennessee, you can't make it. I mean, that's obvious. That's a no-brainer. Okay. You're not going to be able to make that. But here's what you do. Here's where we can start.
Okay, well,
I'm going to
say this.
How
about when it's happening in your neighborhood? And you're able to, are you just going to stop what you're doing?
Well, here's what I do, and we talk about what we should do, but I talk about what I do, and what I think that we can do, which would be a lot more effective than just putting band-aids over bullet holes. I think that when we come together first as a unified group of individuals, and we have a collective mindset to better each other. Then you could start to mount an effective campaign that will lead to success for many more people. But if you take this attitude, like, I'm on my own, you're on your own, you're going to do your thing, I'll do my thing, or whatever, you're not going to create the kind of synergy you really need to create if you want to create, a Ralph's supermarket chain, or if you want to create, I was thinking the other day, has anybody heard of a black-owned car manufacturer, like a Chevrolet or somebody like that? Have we heard of those people yet? Okay, have we created? I did two films for a nominal cost of $900,000 a piece. These films went on to make over $100 million. When I said, you know what, I went to school, I did what I was supposed to do, I went to school, I learned my craft, I learned how to create my own scripts so that the storylines would be an accurate depiction of street dancers in the inner city, an accurate depiction of my people in my screenplay. I mean, I went in a gung-ho, man, I was going to do that. I'm gonna rage against the system, not with fighting, but through my education, my knowledge, or what have you. I create this story, and in it, as we all know, I've got the lead man is a black man in the picture, and I go around Hollywood. Oh, Shabba, dude, we love you, man. Oh, we love the movie. Blah blah blah. Let me read that. What's that character? I say, yo, he's this black kid. Blah blah blah. They're like, we need to, can we get one that's a little bit more diversified? Can we get one a little bit more crossover? How about if it's the white girl is your daughter and you married, these kinds of storylines start to develop. So I said, screw you guys. I don't really need you. I'll just go to my people. Oh, yeah, we got rich people like, too. We got the Michael Jordans, the Magic Johnsons, the Denzel Washingtons, or whatever. You go to them with this same storyline, they act worse than the white people. They can't come together and go, you know what, here's a guy who's clearly an expert at what he does. He's written a screenplay depicting the scene as it really is. But yet, now I feel almost forced now to have to bow now that says, you know what, at the end of the day, I got to pay my rent. Guess what? The king of street dancing is now a white guy. He's a white boy, and he's going into the black neighborhood, kicking everybody in the behind. He's the best dancer in the world, and he gets the black chick, and they ride off into the sunset with the black guys with their hands in their pockets stealing tires. You know, it's just, You know, that's the kind of disconnect. That's the kind of disconnect that's going on.
There's a black owned car manufacturer.
Well, okay, you found one. Where is he at?
In Nigeria.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, we can't wait to get those. I'm just saying,
First owned car manufacturer.
Okay, but you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think we have two definitions. That person in Nigeria, that's a Nigerian. He has to be a person of color, but in America, we have a very special breed, and we are black people here. We ain't Nigerian. We ain't African. We have morphed into something else, guys. We're another kind of being. So, yeah, he's dark in color, and that's wonderful. But I tell you what, that Nigerian is not going to come to America and put that car over here. He's not going to put that dealership over here, that thing over here. And see, that's where we're at. And what I'm talking about is let's not talk about what we can't control, but let's talk about the things we control.
I'm gonna tell you something. We're coming to a close, but I got a point that I want to make here. You said that we were talking about these artists and collectively supporting these artists in an area where they can all be supported. That's what Hip Hop National is for. Just to let you know, that's why we give this information.
Okay, that's wonderful.
We bring this information to the public so that these kids can understand it and then give them a platform where their music can be supported and they can bring their family and their friends to support them and yell their name all over the show.
And you know what? I totally agree with you. That's why I'm on this phone right now, and I'm not doing my laundry.
You're doing your laundry? Wow.
This show took precedence over my laundry today because I realized how important this moment was. Now, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I got to do laundry and wash dishes like everybody else, man. That's just the reality here. You know, but what I'm saying is I'm on this show because I do admire and I appreciate the direction of what this show is about, discussing. And it's really, really the show's about empowerment and how to use our tools, our streetwise tools, our educational tools. How these two different, very different worlds can reconcile each other. And at the end of the day, how we all want the same thing. We want security. We want happiness. We want to be able to creatively express ourselves. We want equal and equal opportunity to be able to display our talents and offer our services and goods through records or clothing lines or dancing workshops or dancing schools or what have you. And that's why I am on this show today, and that because through this discussion, we can enlighten young people to say, you know what, these guys are right. I'm learning from them. We just planted one really positive seed today. And this whole time we've been together, I think we've accomplished a tremendous amount.
Well, let me pay homage. If it was easy,
everybody would be doing it, huh?
Yeah. Amen. Let me pay homage to a guy who brought you on today, Shabadoo, and you turn out to be a pretty good guest too. By the way, we're gonna say thank you to Dante. Dante, thanks for bringing him to the program tonight.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Poetic.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. I just came in. Yeah.
I have to say to you guys, I don't know who all know Dante, but Dante goes hard for the program. He believes in it. I've been knowing him for quite some time, and I want to just highlight him for a moment and say thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I appreciate your hospitality and kindness, and I look forward to bringing a lot of great professionals, you know, like Shabba. It's very great to have, you know, positive people that's an inspiration on Hip Hop National, and by him being a legend himself and being a true role model that impacted my life, actually, when I was doing dancing, I thought it would be great to have a talented, you know, expert like yourself and, you know, to speak on great topics, you know, about positive things that, you know, you can do that as a mentor to help the young youth that don't have the positive directions that we had coming up in the 80s, where we had different beautiful leaders that was out there, like, that they could look up to, where today, you know, it's so much of violence and the killing of one another. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to have him on the show where he could touch bases on a lot of great things that today's newcomers could see that there's a better way that you can always go, that you don't have to always go left when you can go right and do what's right and do positive things and not always fall to the negative, and you can reinforce the positive.
Thank you, Dante, for approaching me. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, guys. In closing, we got about 4 minutes. I want to go around to everybody and get about 30 seconds to a minute of maybe some tips and advice that you could see going forward to help our youth. What would you say from the balance of your books, Book Smart and Street Smart, what would you say that a kid, that one thing that you would say to impact a kid's life? I'm going to go ahead and start with you, John Lowe. Hadn't heard from you for a minute. Give me a quickie.
The only thing I would say that to the kids is step into your greatness. Step into the thing that you haven't figured out about yourself yet. Stretch yourself and learn about yourself and other people that have been successful in life.
Amen. Thanks a lot, John. Twyla.
What I would say is that definitely it's important that you would get your education, because it's really important for you to have that. And to seek out to be all that you can be. All that you can be, you know, for whatever that you want to do, just reach for it and put your all in it, and it can be handed to you. You can get it.
All right. Thank you very much. Eric? Eric, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. What would be that one or two things that you'd like to tell our youth today that can be
Please learn how to speak English well. It's okay to have fun with your friends and use some slang. And also learn how to speak as many other languages as possible. As I said, I speak most European languages and their sub-tongues, and as a Latin or African-American looking person, I never let them know, so that I am my own fly on the wall, I'm my own spy. Always know more, never let them know until you have to.
Awesome. Thank you, Eric. Thank you. Please come again. I appreciate you, your knowledge and your tips tonight. Shabadoo.
Well, in keeping with Maya Angelou, and I would just like to say, to quote her, and that is, any book that helps a child to form a habit of reading, to make reading one of his deep and continuing needs, is good for him. And that book can either be books that we learn in school or books that we learn in life. And I suggest that we learn them both.
All right. We got Rodolph, you.
Well, you know, I think this was a good topic. You've got to have the street, you've got to have the smart, but I guess the conclusion to this is that without the logic, you wind up like this.
And the brother told me he was going to go to the sun. I said, brother, if you go to the sun, you're going to burn up. He said, no, when I go to the sun, I'm going to go at night. I said...
And that's my statement.
All right. Rondo's audio guy. I'm going to let you guys know this. He's a production guy. So y'all always go give. So he gonna give you a treat of his talent. I appreciate that, Raw Dog. And I would say, and I'll, let's go to Dante. Dante, give us your out cue of tonight.
Okay. Well, I kind of came in on, you know, in the middle, moving around and stuff, but what I heard that it was excellent. You know, the
Thank
topic.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And Shabadoo, what I need you for you to do, man, is give me a drop for future programs, if you would, about tonight, what you think about it. Give us a drop in for Hip Hop National Radio. Give us your thoughts.
Hi, I'm Shabadoo, and I would like to encourage everybody who's out there that's seeking to grow and to develop your art, tune in to Hip Hop National.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Shabadoo. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Raw Dog, Dr. A.T., you know what time it is. Let's take
All
it
right.
away.
God bless everybody.
God bless, brother.
Hand the flyers out. Let the people see. I'm back in the house.
This is Dr. A.T.
What's up, guys, and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In the Mix with Dr. A.T. I'm your host.
And the next song is going to be by Black Militia,
feels so good. Next on deck, Jody B, Keep Living.
All them little boys who never had their mama call them. I'm talking to the ones who end up dropping out of college and hustle all day just to make a couple dollars and hoping that you make it just to live another day and crying every night, tears dropping from your face and struggle just to wake up in the morning cause of pain and hoping God sees you on your knees when you pray. Your baby mama tripping, your son's father sipping to another bitch, staying up waiting for a ring about to flip. Your only son cause he had to go to war and now you find yourself walking to the liquor store. Same issue, different day is what you're thinking on your mind. Living life without your baby brother cause he's doing time. Ashamed to go to school because the clothes you can't afford
business, all them niggas call you whore. Keep your head up, lil mama, something gotta give. Stay in school, lil soldier, you got a life to live. To all them good women, stuck living with a bad man. He always quick to hit you, but he never hold your hand. I know you wanna fly away and never have to land. I know you wanna throw away that big old wedding band. I know you really trying to fight and take a firm stand. I just really wanna tell you that I understand. Yeah.
With Dr. Ray T. Cammy Hearn on the Spreaker channel. www.spreaker.com/listen. Hip Hop National Radio. Next on deck is A.Y. Lee My Way, a Bionic production.
A.Y., what up, baby? You got my back on this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we just go run through this thing. Come on.
I've got fire, my one desire is to take you higher, but I'll do it my way.
This patiently waiting is so frustrating, watching the less talent to capture what I've been chasing. Then others hang on to every word like they're the messiah. There is none higher, but on the contrary, I'm so sick and scary. So call for a city whitey back before I snap in your whole system collapse. Cause in order to rebuild, I must first sit down. And my sound is so profound, I could be world renowned. But I'm being suppressed like a muzzle on a barrel of a robbery and bordeaux. But still I pray, and still I say, I got next while they continue to play. And I continue to return day after day, but the result is still the same. What am I to do? I build my own court, I make my own rules. Through the game how I see fit, I will not lose.
That fire, my one desire.
It's finger snap wrist, hip hop dead back. It was rushed off that it's not techno rap. But I've been doing that as my resume has shown. Am I better off alone? Cause the style is homegrown. Influence on me is very limited. But for you, it's like you, that freshman kid with no ends and no friends. They did whatever it took to try to fit in, but never did. You're losing the long one, cause you're thinking for print, passing by them pennies and forget dollars are made from cents. Your tunnel business bit, so you can't see. You're about to drive into the abyss of mediocrity. Cause let you fall back, you better smarten up, cause all brown nose and get you two girls in one cup. And that's not what's up. I'm so far ahead that Joneses can't catch up. I'm what?
That fire, my one.
I've learned it's not who does it first, but who does it bigger. Just like women, it's not who's cuter, but who's got the better figure. Go figure, all the rigmarole and hoop jumping means nothing if these cats keep lunching. So as long as you keep pine hopping, you'll never be chart-topping. Tell me why. A few years back, mad caps was walking around with an East Coast swag. And now they got a Southern drawl, throwing auto-tune on all their songs. And tell me why. Dudes don't want to pay for the beats that'll change the game and make their style concrete. With current, it's past. Me, I pass. Enhance and advance while you trying to make a new dance.
That fire, my one. Desire.
Next on deck is Lil E, Living Life.
Yeah, yeah. It's your boy, E. Plan. They ain't know I was gonna make it. I'm just laughing one time. But check me out. I'm living life good. Yeah. Hey, E, Plan.
I'm living life good. Born and raised in the hood. I'm the greatest, but really I am a hero. Sitting chasing getting wrecked, but I have to sell dough. But even if I go broke, then I'ma have to sell some more. I'm trying to get my name out there, cause no one know it's like I don't exist in this world. See, I'm not invisible, I stand my ground like a statue. I'm something that's visual, picture me in your gallery, even in your collage. I'm different from these other rappers, so I don't camouflage. I try to do my best to get shows, and when it happen, I wear my best hoes. Shirt tie slacks with my best clothes. When life get hard like concrete, I just plant my 10 toes, but nobody knows I'm growing up like tall afros. Until they look at me and then they look at my eyes, and then they start to realize that I'm not a disguise. It's really me, Mr. E-R-I to the C, but my stage name is E-Classy, baby. I'm living life good, born and raised in the hood.
That's why I'm so cold, no need to get myself together, cause I'm already broke. We live in a life that's under control. I'm just trying to get to the point where I can have money to blow. See, I'm the youngest rapper that most of these people don't know. But when it comes down to play football, shout out to my boy Joe. That was his sport, and the only thing he had on his mind, he was just moving too fast instead of taking his time. I try to make the right decisions in life instead of doing wrong, even if it takes me a week to spend some days alone. I mean, to get my mind right, to see my swag already tight, and all I have to do now is just grind all night. I'm just trying to do my best, and that's real, cause I'm hungry for this game. All I need is a full meal. I'm a talented young man who was blessed with a great skill. He class reporting to you live. For real.
I'm just waiting for a deal, then I'm never.
On deck is Big Moochie with a new hotline club dance called Baka Shuffle.
Hey, I need everybody to report to the dance floor right now for this one here, baby.
Uh-oh. It's Big Moochie, baby.
Big Moochie.
Omen's MC.
Hey,
check this out. I got this new line dance hustle, you hear me? This going out to all my bikers all across the world. We gon' call this hit a Biker Shuffle.
Let's go. Now walk into your ride. Now move it on up. Move it on up. Now walk into your left. Now bring it on back. Bring it on back. Now kick with it. Kick with it. Hop out in. Now kick with it. Step to your right. Now slide with it. Turn to your left with it. Walk into your ride. Now move it on up. Move it on up. Now walk into your left. Now bring it on back. Bring it on back. Now kick with it. Kick with it. Hop out in. Now kick with it. Step to your right. Now slide with it. Turn to your left with it.
Next on deck is Animal Flavor. We are human beings.
About
disbelief.
Yeah.
I believe in equality, yeah.
Yeah.
We all human beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
We all human beings howling.
Yeah.
Like a wolf in the still of the night. A beast.
Yeah.
Playing this out. Matching the pieces. Transforming my reality.
Yeah.
Enabling the growth of the supreme being. 1, 2,
yeah.
10.
Yeah.
Make sure the thief of time.
Yeah.
Doesn't snatch your mind. Spiraling out of control. Your soul.
Yeah.
Our Lord shall console.
Yeah.
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 Straight and narrow. Not just the bow. I am the arrow. With these blessings, I do travel.
Yeah.
Steady through the universe.
Yeah.
Frequently do I converse with the master degree in infinity.
Yeah.
Setting for nothing more or nothing less.
Yeah.
Because together we will achieve equality. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
We are all human beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
We are human beings. Come on.
Yeah.
Because together we will achieve.
Yeah.
I stand firm in this belief. Equality. Yes, Lord. We all.
Yeah.
We all human beings.
Yeah.
4 and 6 get 10.
Yeah.
I check once, then twice, then turn.
Yeah.
Our fire. I be pouring out love on each of your foreheads.
Yeah.
Blessed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We all. Human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Equality.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. We all. Human being.
Next on deck is Shergi. Lovely day.
Get higher, push it on the touch of what's the 25. Facebook.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.